Last week, President Trump spoke to thousands of union workers at a petrochemical plant owned by Royal Dutch Shell outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And while the workers weren't required to attend, the plant made it clear that not showing up would mean no overtime pay for the week. Workers were also warned not to disrupt or protest Trump's speech, terms agreed to by union leaders. And even though the event was billed as a speech on energy policy, the substance of the president's remarks echoed what you might normally hear at one of his campaign rallies.
In 2020, we're running, so you better get out there and make sure we win.
The event has raised questions about the role of union work at a time when labor is under increasing attack from Republicans and the Trump administration. Stephen Greenhouse has covered labor and the workforce for nearly 20 years at the New York Times, and he's the author of the new book, Beaten Down, Worked Up, The Past, Present, and Future of American Labor. Welcome back to The Takeaway, Stephen.
Great to be here, Tanzina.
So President Trump has a habit of blending politics with his day-to-day business of being president, but in the larger scope of American politics, how common is something like this?
It's quite unusual. It's happened before, but this is really unusual, where basically a company decides to use its workers, and here thousands of workers, as props to make the president look good. And under American law, corporations, you know, nothing stops them from doing this. They have the right to do this. You know, the First Amendment applies to just government action. And here, Shell, I guess, wanted to look good to Trump and wanted to have a huge turnout and told its workers, basically, if you don't go there, we're not going to pay you for the day.
The union that represents these workers, which is the Steamfitters Local 449, told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that they were fine with Shell's plan to trade participation for pay. What's that all about?
So we have a president who many people fear will retaliate, will punish them if they don't do what he wants. So I think Shell felt, wow, Trump wants to come to our plant. We better make sure we have thousands of people there. If not, maybe Trump will somehow take action against us. And I believe the union felt the same way. You know, the union still want, you know, the construction union still want Trump to deliver on his promise of $1 trillion in infrastructure, and they want to stay on his good side. So the union leaders were in a bind. If they said, no, we're not going to turn out our members, then the union might really anger Trump, and maybe he will do even less to make infrastructure happen someday.
The Post-Gazette reporting also showed that the workers were not ordered to protest President Trump at the event and that they were told, and I'm quoting here, anything viewed as resistance would not be tolerated. Is that legal?
As I said, the First Amendment applies to government action. You know, the federal government, the state government, cities can't tell you what to say or what not to say, but private employers, you know, have the right, you know, and that's one of the big issues, you know, in labor law is, you know, many worker advocates say that, you know, that employers, the corporations, just have too much sway over workers. You know, if you're trying to unionize, they could force, you know, 1,000 workers to have to sit through an hour-long anti-union presentation by a high-priced consultant. And I think a lot of people would say this shows the corporation's lack of respect for workers. And in my new book, I kind of argue that something's really askew in the United States nowadays, that corporations have so much power and sway over workers, and that worker power, worker voice in the workplaces has fallen, unfortunately, to its lowest level in many decades.
President Trump has made a point of talking up his support for labor unions on the campaign trail and for workers more broadly. But what do his actions say? What has his policy been on unions as president?
So when he ran for president in 2016, he really ran as a champion of very much for workers and somewhat for unions. And my sense is, you know, time after time, he's acted against workers and against unions. He's, his administration has scrapped a rule that would have extended overtime pay to millions of workers. His administration has scrapped a rule that would have required Wall Street firms to act in the best interest of workers and retirees on 401k plans. His appointees have made it harder to unionize. For instance, his Labor Department and NLRB have said that Uber drivers and Lyft drivers should be considered independent contractors and not employees, and that will make it impossible for them to unionize. His appointees to the Supreme Court have ruled against unions in a very important case that says that government workers in unionized places don't have to pay any fees to the unions that represent them. So on one hand, you know, unions thought that Trump was going to really battle for them, but in issue after issue, he has acted against them, except for one thing, Tanzina, and that's on trade, where I think that's the one area where he has made good on his promises that he was going to battle for workers. So I think a lot of workers and union leaders, while they're upset that he's acting against workers in many ways, at least on trade, which is dominating headlines, he seems to be fighting for workers. But in many ways, I submit he's botched this. You know, if you want to have a huge fight with China, you know, the world's second largest economic power, you don't do it one-on-one. You get our allies, Canada, the European Union, Japan, tobacco, so that it would be harder for China to retaliate just against us, just against U.S. farmers. But he's decided to turn it into a one-on-one fight, and that in many ways has hurt America.
At the same time, President Trump has, as we said, just with this example, needs these votes, campaigned a lot on these votes, was in Pennsylvania, hoping to win the state again. When you talk to rank-and-file members, workers, union members, what are they saying about this? Because we recently reported also on coal plants that were closing in Kentucky, and a lot of those folks supported the president. Then they said, well, wait a minute, what about our jobs? You know, we're not so – is there that disconnect trickling down to the actual workers, Stephen?
Yes. I've talked to workers, some of whom voted for Trump, and they're becoming disillusioned. You know, certainly some, you know, support Trump still, and others say – you know, he's acted against workers. He's done nothing to raise the minimum wage. He hasn't delivered on his promise for infrastructure. He's acted against, you know, he and his administration, some people say, are the most anti-union administration in modern times. So they're growing disillusioned. And unless President Trump does something to woo them back, that could cause him to lose the three key states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, that made all the difference in the 2016 election.
When you talk to labor leaders, I mean, what's Trump's relationship been like with labor leaders broadly? I mean, does it depend on which union we're talking about or which industry?
So the constructing unions have been closest to him because they want him to deliver on infrastructure. So they kind of try to stay on his good side.
And is he delivering on infrastructure?
No, he hasn't delivered at all on infrastructure. Then the more progressive government employee unions, the service employees union, the teachers unions, you know, which the Republicans are constantly beating up, and they feel that Trump has been beating up on them, their relations with Trump are worse. They're much more critical of him. Then you have the AFL-CIO, Richard Trumka, the kind of head of labor in the nation, and he's torn. On one hand, he sees many of President Trump's anti-union, anti-worker actions. On the other hand, he feels we got to try to stay on his good side because we want him to deliver on infrastructure. We want him to continue pushing on trade. So unions are really torn. And like many people, you know, they're kind of worried that if they speak out too much or criticize him too much, there'll be nasty tweets against them. He'll take, you know, maybe vindictive actions. So they're really not sure what to do.
We're in the era of the nasty tweet. Stephen Greenhouse spent decades covering labor issues for the New York Times, and he's also the author of Beaten Down, Worked Up, The Past, Present, and Future of American Labor, out this month. Stephen, thanks for joining us on The Takeaway.
Always nice to be here.